Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
Sports Radio 810 WHB, the Interurban Lofts proudly present The Border Patrol with Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady.
Good morning, my neighbors!
It's showtime!
Every team has their own identity, and there's, like you said, the boxing analogy, some matchups just don't work out right. For us right now, and for Patrick specifically, and I think this is one of the good things of where he's at this year, is right now for him, it's week by week to be as consistent as he can be, regardless of what has happened in the past. And I say that to the point that we have not brought up in our room one time about anything that has happened. We know what has happened, and we're on to this year now. Schematically, what do we need to do? We'll work through that, but I think that for Patrick, he's in a good place right now. Our offense and our team is in a good place, and so what we want to do is keep that going and make sure that play by play, drive by drive, game by game, we keep this going, because it's been fun. And we all are learning different ways to win. We're calloused, and Patrick's a huge reason for that.
City, welcome to the Border Patrol for this Friday, December 2nd, 2022. Nate Buchady with you in studio, along with Marco Marquez. We've got Stephen St. John from his palatial home in the Northland. We have a big, big Friday show coming up for you today. First of all, what a weekend we have ahead of us. It actually starts tonight on Sports Radio 810 WHB with the Pac-12 championship game. That comes your way at 7 o'clock, Utah versus USC. Then, tomorrow, of course, in the morning, I'll be down in the Power and Light District for the sure-to-be epic watch party when the United States takes on the Netherlands in World Cup knockout round play at 11 o'clock. That game's at 9 o'clock, by the way. Then at 11 o'clock, it's the Big 12 championship game, which you can hear on ESPN Radio right here on Sports Radio 810, Kansas State versus TCU. The SEC championship game, LSU versus Georgia at 2:30. And then the Big 10 championship game at 7 p.m., Purdue versus Michigan. And if all that wasn't enough for you, the Kansas City Chiefs taking on the Cincinnati Bengals in a rematch of the AFC Championship game. It's all right around the corner this weekend. Coming up on the show, Stan Weber will join us for an hour and a half of football talk. We'll get into this Big 12 Championship game. We'll break it down. Nobody's going to break it down for you like Stan Weber will. We'll also talk about not only the Chiefs and Bengals, but an incredibly entertaining slate of games in the NFL on Sunday. Then we'll have Gary Lezak post-television career. I got several text messages from people that love Gary Lezak that were very sad last night when he did his last television weather forecast, but he is still our guy on the Border Patrol, so we're excited about that. We'll do the Border Patrol Blitz one last time, football version at least, and Gabe DeArmond. This is going to be Brandon McAnderson to talk KU this time because John Kirby's unavailable, and Matt Walters to talk about this Big 12 championship game. We'll talk high school football with Dion Clisso at 8:30. Stephen St. John will do a sports pick segment with JR Sports to get you ready for the weekend and all your gambling needs. Nick Leckie will join us at 9:05, so we're going to triple dip on the Big 12 championship game coverage between Stan, Matt Walters, and Nick Leckie. We're going to get you all ready for K-State playing tomorrow morning, and then we will have a conversation with Matt Beisler from, of course, the United States men's national team and World Cup veteran as we get ready for this big game against the Netherlands tomorrow. Let's bring in Stephen St. John. Good morning, Stephen. How are you?
I've said like five things to you already, but he refuses to turn my mic on, so I don't know.
Well, what were they?
They were pretty funny. I had a couple of funny one-liners.
Well, do you want to repeat them, or was it the timing is
dead
now?
You have to start all over again.
Okay. You want me to start all over again so you can do it?
I thought maybe Marco would turn my mic on at some point. He muted me.
Well, you're on now.
Yeah.
Too late.
Timing's over. Too late. Susan's been in here working on me like a cut man in between rounds to get me to do this show.
Is she administering a cold compress to your cheek?
Dude, I hope you don't get what I got.
I do too.
That's why I've stayed away, you know.
I appreciate that.
That's why I encourage you, like, if you're ever sick, you stay away. If I'm sick, I stay away, you know. Yeah, it is, essentially, I haven't eaten since Tuesday. Because anything I have tried to eat, it's coming out one way or the other.
That doesn't sound very fun.
Does it?
No.
Yeah, I've probably puked probably 10 times since yesterday, I don't know. It's been fun. It's been wild, let me tell you. But she got a cold towel she put on my head just now. She gave me some 7 Up in my medicine, so here I go.
7 Up.
Yeah, 7 Up's my drink of choice when I'm feeling blue, when I'm feeling down.
Get those bubbles in you. So,
you like that?
I do like that.
Yeah, so I'm questionable for this whole show. At some point, if either if I have to puke or if, you know, something else happens, you know what that's like, don't you?
I've been there.
If I hear a rumble in the jungle, Steven, you got a question? Nope, gotta go. So
well,
but man, what an exciting weekend in sports!
Oh, I'm I'm so excited. And I will say this too. So like yesterday, I went and walked and played golf and listened, and I played by myself.
How about that?
And I listened to the Travis Kelce podcast with Patrick Mahomes.
Don't leave out Jason Kelce. He's a big part of that.
He's great. They're both great. And this podcast was one of the most entertaining podcasts I've ever listened to in my entire life since podcasts became a thing. Have you had a chance to listen to it yet?
Nah, I've not been in a condition.
Yeah.
I've heard clips of it.
We're going to play clips for people this morning because even if you have listened to it like me, you just want to hear it again.
I heard the clip about of Nagy basically giving Patrick Mahomes the plays the night before.
I mean, that's what's so great about this podcast is it's some stuff like that that's actually like kind of news-breaking stuff, or at least, holy cow, I didn't realize that, but it's also a funny story. They also just tell, I mean, he gets into detail about everything that happened when he dislocated his knee, how he and Travis became best friends. And it's the kind of story that like every person could identify with. And I think that's the thing that honestly amazes me the most about Kelce and Mahomes is I feel like usually when somebody is so amazingly great at something, whatever it is, like maybe the greatest ever, or at least the greatest in the world to do what they're doing right now, I feel like a lot of times those people are somewhat unrelatable. You know, like how relatable is Tiger Woods? Like, you know, like Tiger Woods seemed like he really struggled to be like a decent guy when he was at the height of everything he was doing.
Well, and that makes him more relatable to some people.
Well, I guess that's fair. And I think he became more relatable after he came kind of crashing down for a lot of people. Like Kelce and Mahomes are at like the height of their profession in every way. And when you listen to them talk, it's like, God, how are they so normal? How are they like so regular? I mean, they're obviously so extraordinary in these certain ways, but in other ways, they just seem like dudes. They're hilarious. I mean, the stories that they tell are funny. The whole thing. I enjoyed every second of that podcast. And we're going to play some of it because they get into the Matt Nagy story is the one that I think probably is that what's generating the most buzz on social media from people?
I think so.
Yeah. I think that's probably accurate.
And the fact that Mahomes tipped off the Chiefs that, hey, you better, if you're going to pick me, you better get me before 12 or I won't be there because he wanted to come to Kansas City.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy stuff. I actually thought one of the things I enjoyed the most was listening to them talk about Alex Smith and all three of them giving their thoughts on some of the quarterbacks we see elsewhere in the NFL who refuse to mentor the younger quarterback that's
right,
you know, on their team. And I know like people, we've had arguments with people about that. People have said to me, you know, that's not his job. His job's to be the best quarterback he can be. And I've always felt like, well, actually you're getting paid by the team. Your job is to help the team as much as you can. And that's exactly what those guys said. And it's good. It's good stuff. Let's play a couple of these clips right now. Because we alluded to it. So if people haven't heard this yet, you know, of course, I think most people by now know that there's a podcast out there called New Heights with Jason and Travis Kelce that's always great. We end up playing clips from this show like almost every week. We'll play what Steven referred to right after this, the part about Matt Nagy, because he was asked about it at his news conference as well, and a little bit more right after this. We are off and running. Steven, we hope isn't running too much, you know, because there's different kinds of runs that you could go on. And we
poop.
Don't get runny poop.
We'll take a break. We've got Steven. You can tell him my
don't
voice.
Don't get me coughing.
Oh, my voice has not returned yet. I don't sound good. We're all excited, despite how we sound. We're excited for this weekend. So we'll get you going here on the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. We're off and running with the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's a Friday, baby. It is a football Friday. So let's play some of these clips from the New Heights podcast, and we'll start with, what probably got the most attention from everybody when Patrick Mahomes shared a story about his first meeting with Andy Reid before he was drafted by the Chiefs.
The first day that I met Coach Reid was at the facility. We had like the meetings, like the top 30 visits. And so that was the first time I really met him. At that time, there was like no time limit. So I was in there for like 5 hours. He's just going through plays. And I'm going to give you all the inside scoop. Matt Nagy, who was our quarterback coach now, was the offensive coordinator then. He really liked me, so he gave me the plays they were going to go over the night before. So Coach Reed's finding out here live on New Heights podcast.
Oh, my gosh.
And so,
Nagy.
Matt. Nagy.
He gave you answers to the test. Let's go.
And so, So, of course, I crushed the meeting. I stayed up all night studying those plays. And so,
man, this kid is locked in. We got ourselves a winner here.
And so the rest was history, man. I met Coach Reid. He went over the plays. We went and had some lunch.
Dude, that's cool.
He had a couple cheeseburgers. And then we went back, and I went on back on the board, and I seemed like I was a guru in a sense because I knew every single play and every check.
Let's go.
So Steve, what's your reaction to that whole story, Steven?
You think you really had a couple of cheeseburgers? I like that because we say that all the time. And maybe it sounds like sometimes Andy's just joking about how much he loves cheeseburgers, but I'd like to think that he's had a couple of cheeseburgers.
Yeah, I believe that for sure. One of the things that Mahomes also talked about, and they got into their why he loves Whataburger so much, and it actually was like a story that I think you and I both could identify with too, because he was from divorced parents, and his mom was working a lot, and he said, there was a Whataburger down the street from our house. And dinner a lot of times for me was mom giving me $5 and saying, go get yourself some dinner. I'm working tonight. And, I'll go to Whataburger again. Like every time he went to Whataburger. Obviously, I didn't get to go to Whataburger, but I was living, my parents were divorced and my mom was working a lot in the evenings and stuff. And so there was a lot of that, like, hey, here's $5, go to the Dillon's in town in Ark City, or, it was Taco Tico quite a bit for me down in Ark City. But I thought, man, Patrick Mahomes is a kid doing the same type of thing I was doing, your place was Burger Biggie's, right?
Burger Biggie's was right down the block from where I grew up on Jackson in Northeast. First place I played a video game. That was awesome. So I have fond memories. Yeah, if there was a chain of Burger Biggies, I would certainly love it. Also, I love Matt Nagy. Thank you, Matt Nagy.
Right. Like, all of a sudden, one of my favorite coaches, Matt Nagy. I mean, that is what an assist. Thank you. So, by the way, Matt Nagy spoke to the media yesterday, so he got asked about giving these plays to Mahomes from the podcast.
You know, it's always a unique and fun process going through that, and I think you go back to that time when every year you're prepping for different positions, different players, et cetera. And it's such a lengthy, grueling process. And obviously we all had, I think it was very safe to say that there was a major consensus in our building of who we liked. And so me being the coordinator / quarterback coach, I could have a little part of that to be able to, help out and see where he's at. And so I just know that Coach Reid and Veacher and a lot of other people in that building really, really, really like Patrick, including myself. And so you get a chance to meet with them. And, everybody has a process of what you go through. And, for us, it was able to go through some plays. And Coach has a phenomenal process of evaluation of many different positions, but in particular, I think his process of evaluating quarterbacks is awesome. And so that was just a part of the process, and I have not seen it yet, what you're talking about, but I can assume he's probably having some fun with it. And yeah, we definitely like Patrick.
So it sounds like yes, that you gave him the answers or the plays.
Say that again, I'm sorry.
So that's a yes, you gave him the plays ahead of time?
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
You had other quarterbacks in that year, too. I mean,
yeah, a lot of great ones.
Did you give them the plays, too?
We went over different plays at different times throughout the process of different weeks and different months. I thought Patrick did a hell of a job on the test. Coach was giving him some good questions on the plays, and Patrick, man, he knew what he was doing, but it was impressive.
So thank you, Matt Nagy, for sure. he can go ahead and put his hand up now. Nobody's going to be I can't imagine anybody's going to be mad at him now.
Yeah, don't hold back on that.
Right.
We're good with it.
Yeah, take all the credit you want, buddy. I mean, yes, Patrick Mahomes is here because I helped him. You know, I would be doing that if I were him.
Thank you, my friend.
All right, this is a long story, but I want to play this while we have time because, to me, this was the part I found myself laughing out loud. I found myself identifying more with Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes than I ever thought was possible, but also just like a hilarious story of how the two of them became like stepbrothers. Like the movie, did we just become best friends? This was the moment that Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce formed that type of relationship.
So obviously, I get here at the beginning of the year, and I'm still a rookie. So you know, I'm just kind of going through the motions, trying to figure out the best way to kind of fit in. And I think the first time that I thought I was like, me and Travis are gonna be connected throughout this my entire career was, you remember when we had the fourth preseason game? We used to have a little off time. You had like a little weekend. You played on Thursday.
Like
you
kind of
had a
little week.
Well, you know, Coach Reed always would give you the walkthrough the day before the actual walkthrough. And me being a kid fresh out of college, I had a couple buddies that were rookies with me, and they were like, let's go out Saturday, man. Let's go out. Yeah. We'll have the
training
walkthrough
camp
on
just
Sunday.
Got done. We're done with
just
preseason.
Got back from St. Joe's. We had a great preseason. So we go out, and Coach Reed had told us the next day at like 8 o'clock we're going to have a 15-minute walkthrough done. That's all you have on Sunday. So I set 8 alarms on my phone. I have them all. I go out with the rookies. Of course, I get out there, and I see old Travis Kelce out at the same spot as I'm at, and I'm like, hey, Travis, come on, Gary, all y'all come over here to the
let's
table.
Let's do this.
Let's have a great time. So I have a great night, get home, have all my alarms set. I made sure of that. Go to sleep, wake up, not to an alarm, wake up, look at the TV, and I see 8:15 on my TV screen on the resting thing. I didn't put my phone in the charger, so my phone died. Rookie mistake.
Too many times.
And obviously drove to the facility extremely fast. Dangerous.
You can't overlook that initial feeling of understanding that you're not going to make it there on time is the
your
most
heart
like
just drops.
No, this isn't happening.
This isn't happening. Am I dreaming?
And then immediately you just start telling yourself how uselessly you stupid idiot. How could you do this? You suck. You're idiot. You're so unaccountable, man. Get it together, man.
And then to complete the story, I get there and I get to the facility, and they're already in the walkthrough, obviously, already going. And I walk up to the door, and like how the Chiefs facility is built, the defense does it on the first side of the field and the offense is on the other side. And I was like, there is no chance I'm walking through the defense late to get to the offense side of the walkthrough.
I ain't going out.
Meanwhile,
there,
we're playing the Super Bowl champs, the Patriots, like on opening night that week. I sit in the locker room, and I'm just sitting there shaking my head, and they call me up to the office, and I'm getting, like, the max fine, all this different stuff, feel like an idiot. And I thought it was so weird that the first question they asked me was, were you with Travis? And I was like, no, not at all. Why would you even ask that? And long story short, Travis was also late. He got there 5 minutes before me.
Dude,
so
I'm sitting, dude. I'm coming into the building like, man, I can't believe I screwed this up again, man. because I'm not going to say I'm notorious for late, but I screwed up a few times before and have been late. So I'm in my head about it. I'm like, man, Coach Reed is going to kill me, man. I can't even look at this guy in his eyes. I'm going to be looking down at the ground while he tells me I'm the worst teammate ever, man. And I walk into the building, and they're like, were you with Pat last night? Where's Pat at? I was just like, my dog, man. Dog, man. I'm not alone. Let's go, man. At that point, and I knew we were teammates, man. I knew that guy was going to win the Super Bowl.
Ride or die together, baby.
I will say, since then, though, I believe me and Travis have never been late again. So we've been on the straight and narrow since then.
I don't know about you, Steve, but I was listening to that, and Kelsey is describing that feeling of knowing you're late, you know, and you're not going to get there on time, and that internal monologue you have,
Resonates with you, doesn't it?
Oh, man. That resonates with me a lot, yes.
You know, what resonates with me is back in my younger day, that attitude would, Travis Kelce, what he said when he saw Pat, when he saw Patrick walk into the, let's do this, you know, yeah. I mean, that made me laugh out loud. He sees Patrick Mahomes, he sees the rookie, oh, yeah, all right, let's do this, you know, and they went after it.
Yeah. I love, too, the like, the relief that Kelce had of, like, I'm not the only one to screw it up today.
Dude, I'm going to tell you this, though. The other thing that resonates with me even now, I'm so dependent on my phone's alarm.
Oh.
And I have a watch, you know, I have a smart watch that's connected to my phone. And so now when my phone's alarm goes off, it vibrates on my watch as well to help me get up, because I have to set like 3 alarms and have my watch on, nothing else gets me up. Nothing else gets me up. And so I'm so, and there have been times where I forgot to plug it in and it died. And that's when I've had issues. And so I totally get that. I'm so dependent to a fault on the alarms on my phones. That's what gets me up.
And I think when you do this for a living too, you like, I have nightmares all the time that I overslept. You know, like, and so like when you say when he was driving in late, like, is this a dream? Is this a dream? Is this real? But that was right there, the origin story of how Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce developed their bromance. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Boy, do we have a lot to talk about with Stan Weber in studio now. This is one of those days where an hour and a half is not going to be enough. But he is in studio, Stephen St. John, and he's got a great sponsor.
That's right. Stan Weber's segment today sponsored by the Historic West Bottoms Entertainment District. It's First Fridays at the Historic West Bottoms, and it's the kickoff to the holiday season. The lights will be turned on tonight at 5:30. So if you're looking for something fun to do, go down to the West Bottoms, and you could be part of the ceremony. Come down and discover the unique historic West Bottoms and find the perfect gift at more than 30 stores. The Grinch, Cindy Lou Who, Santa, Mrs. Claus, the elves are all going to be down there tonight at the Historic West Bottoms tree lighting ceremony to kick off the holiday season. So if you can't make it tonight, the fun will be had all Saturday and Sunday. Put a bow on it with a trip to Kansas City's West Bottoms tonight or anytime this weekend and every weekend throughout the month of December.
Stan, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. You know, it's interesting that we are talking about this because I was a part of the reinvigoration of the West Bottoms in 1991. The Livestock Exchange building down there, which is the most significant asset down in the West Bottoms, was a decrepit old building, very dirty on the outside, sign faded on top, no air conditioning, unbelievable tradition of where Kansas City business and activity was centered. And a state line, by the way, is down there such that part of it's in Kansas. So if you know where Kemper Arena sits, it is barely in Missouri. If you go across the street before you get to the river, the Kansas River, that's the state of Kansas. So anyway, we went down there and bought the whole stockyards and the Livestock Exchange building, modernized it with a brand new air conditioning system, cleaned off the building, so that it came back to the light red brick color that was original, repainted a sign. So if you go down there, I was all a part of that. We said this old building is Kansas City, and we were a giant agricultural company. We said we got to revive this thing. So everything I hear about the West Bottoms, that you hear about Amigoni wine down there and across the street, a lot of people like hanging out over there, do wedding things. Carrie Amigoni and I worked together. I hired her along with Bill Hall as the guy, B-H-A-W. Bill Hall is still down there. He owns the Livestock Exchange building now and built the apartments right across the street from the entertainment center that used to be Kemp Arena. I'm not sure what it's called right now.
Is it still Hy-Vee Arena?
Maybe it's Hy-Vee. Sounds right. But Anyway, Bill Hall is the development guy down there, and I was working with Bill Hall in 1991 to start this whole thing. So we had dreams of what it could be, and it probably will be another 10 years before it all comes to real fruition, to where it's really going to be a hot place to be in Kansas City. Easy access with 670 going by there, Genesee Street. It's really cool.
Amber
down there, who she's been my contact, where I've worked with her at the haunted houses down there when I do my remotes every year, and she's basically the main person down there that's helped put all of this together. Her two sons joined the K-State football team this year, the Bequeath brothers. And so,
yes, okay, now so, what a circle around small world.
Yeah,
there you go.
Those guys are going to be able to go to the bowl game on the trip, which means I'm going to fly commercial, not bowl game, but the championship game tomorrow. I'm actually flying separately because so many of the players get a go. Usually only 75 get a go, and the radio crew, and we're all together. This time they want to take everybody to Dallas.
That's awesome.
To AT&T Stadium.
That's awesome.
And so we got moved over to say, hey, can you just get down there commercially, meet back up at the hotel? So I'm not traveling with K-State today. I'm doing it separately, but one of the reasons is everybody's being rewarded. If you're the 125th player on the team, you get to go to this game, and you'll get to go to a bowl game, which will be the Sugar Bowl. And K-State has played in a lot of big games, but they've always been the Cotton Bowl and the Fiesta Bowl, kind of a footnote weird thing. Never the Rose Bowl, which is very unique to get to the Rose Bowl, right? TCU has accidentally, you know, sequenced it in. Texas got there one time, but usually that's not available. But never played in a Sugar Bowl, Rose Bowl, or Orange Bowl, which is where the Big Eight used to send their team. So this will be our first time to go to one of those three bowl games, to go to the Sugar Bowl. So those guys, the whole football team, has a great trip tomorrow with a great opportunity. And then December 31st, down in New Orleans at the Sugar Bowl.
Wow. So
that's awesome.
Real quick on the riverfront, I do love the fact that the entire riverfront area from the East Bottoms to the West Bottoms is finally starting to get developed again, because that's why the city's here, you know? And even, like, if you want to give the blame for the fact that I'm here, the Bucati family came from Poland to live on what they called Polish Hill, and all the Croatian immigrants and Eastern European immigrants that came to live on those hills on the Eastern KCK, it was to work in the stockyards down in the West Bottoms.
Yeah, well, it was.
You could walk right down the bridge and work there.
The economic engine was just outrageously giant. I mean, that's why all the activity in Kansas City was done.
So much potential there, and it's just great to see.
The number of rail lines that came in, and the pictures are unbelievable. There are historic pictures out there. Just go down there to the Golden Ox, places like that, and look at those pictures, and then just think about, you're standing right here in that same area where this amount of activity was.
Yeah.
And just
that's
so
great.
It's incredible. And we were an agricultural company, so we said, this fits with us. So we went and bought it and got into real estate. That's how I started in real estate. I'm still in real estate now. But I was in agriculture and on the sidelight did real estate. And I was trying to do it while I was the CFO, you know, the number two guy in the company. Bill Hall and I are working together. We're running this agricultural company. You know, I'm 30 years old or whatever it is. And it's like, wow, this real estate, I'm not sure what we're doing. We just gave it our best shot. And then after a couple of years, we said, okay, Carrie Amigoni, we found a real estate person to come in. And so she has continued to work with Bill Hall all these years. So they've done a great job down there. And the whole West Bottoms, starting from Kemper Arena and all the way up now past 670 to the north to the Missouri River, it's all got a chance to really turn around and be something spectacular.
Well, that's a cool event, Stephen, as well. That first Friday is down in the West Bottoms for the holidays. That's fun. I'm going to have to take the kids down to that.
That's right. And Amber, when she wanted to promote the event tonight, I said, we want to sponsor a Stan Weber segment because, of course,
a great K-State family now, and they are having. Can you imagine your sons going to K-State, and this is their first year at K-State? That's a hell of a first year, huh?
Yep, I can. My son was there in 2011 when Colin Klein's coming out party happened as a starting quarterback, and K-State just kept winning games and winning games and winning games, and suddenly they were an awesome team and playing in the Cotton Bowl in AT&T Stadium. So Stanton was a redshirt freshman wearing number 30 because number 12 was taken, and then next year he got the number 12 that I wore, and then Landry was lucky enough to wear 12, and so we had a little tradition. Landry's last year was last year. Stanton's introduction to college football was, hey, you don't get to play because you're a redshirt, but you get to go to the Cotton Bowl.
And maybe that means that one of Amber's kids will end up coaching in a big upset win over Dabo Swinney someday in Clemson.
No, it's off the charts.
Unbelievable.
People may not care about that, but what South Carolina did, beating Tennessee and blowing their chances of college football playoff up, and then beating their rival, Clemson, ending Clemson's 40-game home winning streak.
Wow.
I think they were 59-1 in the last 60 games. They don't like South Carolina at all. They don't respect South Carolina at all right now because they had the longest winning streak in the history of the series, 7. So they'd won 7 straight. Here comes little South Carolina in after they upset Tennessee. Spencer Rattler lit Tennessee up. Like, he woke up and looked like that Heisman Trophy type quarterback Oklahoma thought they had before he transferred, and they backed it up and beat Clemson.
Man.
And it was amazing. And special teams got a couple of fumbles, and Stanton and Coach Limbo, who's a special teams coach, and then Shane Beamer obviously loves special teams. We had him on College Game Day a few weeks ago, and I asked him about when you got head coaching responsibilities, you got a lot of things you need to do. And as you guys see your development of your career, certain things you got to give up and do other things. That's just part of the job. Be a head coach, all these things. But he loves special teams. I go, is it hard not to just want to stick with what you know and love? Like, an offensive guy may not want to coach the whole team. He want to stick in offense. He goes, the first thing I do when I start evaluating, getting ready for the next week on Sunday morning, is the special teams. And I know it's true because Stanton meets with Limbo and Coach Shane Beamer 3 or 4 times a week, just the three of them. And so he's got a great opportunity to, you know, he's in special teams calculus class or whatever right now. And South Carolina special teams are the best in the country.
You know, this can launch a little conversation we can have about special teams across several different platforms, because Dave Tobe's been a big topic of conversation with the Chiefs. But real quick, that KU K-State game. As you know, I'm a massive fan of everything that KU's done with Lance Leipold. I think he's just done a tremendous job. I'm very excited that he's going to be around. I did not expect Kansas to be on the same level as K-State going into this game, and they weren't. They're closer, but they're still not on the same level. Special teams. I mean, I'm so impressed that Chris Klieman has taken so many of the different things that Bill Snyder made great at K-State, because coaches don't always do that. You know, when you take over for a legend, trying to continue the things that made that coach great can be very difficult because you're a different person. The special team, that was a mismatch in special teams, K-State versus KU. That was one of the biggest differences in the game, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing how Coach Klieman has adapted to thinking that's very important. And Stanton was the analyst at K-State until the last 2 years. So he was there when Coach Klieman came in. You're like, what is the emphasis going to be? Because he's used to winning national championships with North Dakota State. And they did it with, oh, by the way, a bunch of NFL quarterbacks.
Yeah, a bunch of them.
Like, Gary Pinkle had quarterbacks rolling through. You don't realize that North Dakota State, and now Skylar Thompson ends up being a pro for the Miami Dolphins. So he's actually been around a ton of quarterbacks, even though he's a defensive guy. But where was his stance on special teams? You know, you just didn't know, because North Dakota State just beat you on offense and defense all game long, made no mistakes on special teams. So they're good, but it wasn't an emphasis point. It's interesting that he quickly adapted and said, let's go help win our games in that third phase at K-State, and it's continued on. K-State special teams are a difference maker. Obviously, the last two times that KU has walked into Manhattan, Phillip Brooks had 2 punt returns for touchdown against Kansas the last time they were there, including the most demoralizing play I've ever seen, with about 10 seconds left on the clock. Steven, picture this. KU's punting with about 10 seconds left on the clock. The starting punter got hurt, so it's a backup punter who hadn't played much. He punts the ball to K-State, who's already returned a punt for a touchdown. And if K-State gets shoved out at the inch yard line, it's kind of like when a 2-point conversion, you pick it up on defense, and you run 99 yards, but if they shove you out at the inch yard line, it's 0 points. You don't get the two. That's what's at stake. So the ball goes, Phillip Brooks catches it probably at the 50-yard line or the K-State 45. If he gets tackled 1 inch from the goal line, we run into halftime. It's over. He houses it untouched down the right side for another two TD returns against Kansas. And in this game, KU fumbles, muffs the first punt of the game. So Ty Zentner, by the way, deserves a lot of credit. If you're talking about K-State football, he's made all of his field goals against West Virginia. He showed he had the range. He made a 50-plus yarder before the half, a 46-yarder. And the KU game, he put on a show in the rain. He had a 72-yard punt. He had a 60-plus yard punt land inside the five. The first punt of the game, after K-State was 3 and out against Kansas, the first punt of the game was a bomb that was hard to catch in the rain, which ended up being a muff. K-State gets it. And then a kickoff a little bit later, he could kick it out of the end zone whenever he wants to, but he pushed it up high, dropped it down at the goal line. KU took the bait, returned it to the 10, got stuffed, but it had a penalty back to the 5, and a couple plays later had a safety. I mean, Ty Zentner put on a show, punting, kicking off, and kicking field goals.
Special teams was huge in that game. And you mentioned, though, the way that it used to be for Chris Klieman, how at North Dakota State, went on offense, went on defense, and just don't screw up on special teams. After the break, I want to know, is that what the Chiefs should be doing on special teams? We'll talk more with Stan after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Over my career, you know, my 22-year career, I've developed a lot of guys, you know, and I really feel like Sky has that ability. He's got that ability, innate ability to make somebody miss, and he's a good catcher of the football. I just think, you know, we cracked his confidence a little bit, and it's hard back there. I mean, I've talked about this before, how hard it is to play punt return in the NFL, and, you know, he just had some bad things happen to him, and we just need some time here to
So there's Dave Tobe. We spent a lot of time this week talking about Sky Moore and his third muffed punt, and it's just time. He said he cracked his confidence a little bit. What's your reaction to that, what you heard right there, Stan?
Well, I think it's very accurate. Number one, it's the hardest job in the NFL after, what, quarterbacking?
Mm-hmm.
When that ball is blasted up in the air, these punters, they don't only just punt it, they know exactly within – like 3 yards, the spot they want it. And then you got these guys bearing down on you while the ball's coming, and it curves, and oh, man, it's just so hard. So I think that what he's talking about is exactly right. His confidence has been broken, and they need to go, that's enough, let's move in another direction. And so, you know, Sky can get back to playing receiver, and he played it very well. So what kind of integrity does this kid have blowing it and knowing the whole stadium is just – like, are you kidding me? This is the one thing we can't have out there is you as a punt returner, and a little bit later he's making diving catches and making plays. To segregate that punt play from the rest of his job is just incredible. Because when you're young and you got a chance to achieve Super Bowl-level mentality looking at you and down on you, how do you do that? I mean, that's a lot of stress. So great job by Sky to just come back and keep playing.
Steven?
It was time, you know. I thought it was time after the second. I thought his confidence was cracked then. But I'm with you. You know, I think it's going to be good for him just to be able to focus on playing wide receiver and being a part of this offense and not have to worry about punt returning because it did affect him. And I'm sure he carried that over to the offense. And so that's going to help the Chiefs in two spots. It's going to get them a more dependable punt returner, hopefully in Justin Watson, a guy that just catches it and will secure the football. And then Sky Moore can focus on being a consistent part of the offense, which will only help the Chiefs as they get closer to the postseason.
And, of course, a mistake like that in a game like this one against the Bengals can be the difference in whether the Chiefs win or lose. So we're going to break that game. We got big games to break down. K-State-TCU is going to be a massive game, and this Bengals-Chiefs game is a massive one as well. That's all straight ahead as we'll continue on the radio with Stan Weber on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We wrap things up on 38 The Spot.